So the first one today, this is from Laird. Laird has said, guys, regarding Rob McIntyre's drop, it might be a good rules question for your guy, Stu. Rule 13.2 says you must not improve the area of an intended stance or swing by moving, breaking, or bending anything that is growing. Now, given that his practice swing removed a big chunk of grass and that uncovered the sprinkler head, given this all appeared accidental, it still enabled him to receive the drop. It could be argued the drop should not have been given.
Mm. I don't think his practice swing uncovered the sprinkler head, because otherwise he would have a broken wrist right now because he would have hit the sprinkler head. I think when he took the practice swing and stood there, he felt something under his feet.
Yes, that's correct. It wasn't because he could see it. Mm. It was because he could feel it when he stood on it. But the wording of that particular rule, not being able to break something close to the ball.
Mm.
Those practice swings.
I must admit, it was
close. Is close?
Yeah, that's true.
Is my question.
Because it did look pretty close, didn't it?
It did look reasonably close. Now, I would, in that situation, I wouldn't be taking a swing like that within two club lengths. I reckon two club lengths I'm taking a swing if I can find rough like it, just to get a feel for how my club is going to cut through that grass.
Yeah, I'd say a couple of feet for me.
2 feet? Two rough that long?
2 or 3 feet away from the ball, I think you're not going to have anything to do with where the ball is.
Gee,
you're still sceptical?
No. I'd be scared to do it in case it moved my ball.
Yeah, sure.
In a way.
Okay.
I don't think it would be... I don't think having a practice swing within feet of the ball would improve the lie too much.
What about if you were a foot behind it and went sideways just to clear it out a bit?
That's frowned upon in the game of golf, Nick.
I know.
That's Jumbo Ozaki style swooshing.
No, he would never be in the rough because the ball would have came out already.
That's true too.
Should we give Stu a quick call?
Yeah, go on. Let's call Stu. I also want to ask you about a lost ball that I saw in round one or was it round two with Lowry?
Lowry.
Because he wanted the ball to be lost, and it didn't work out that way because he hit a provisional shot, a brilliant shot.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Hey, we're well, Stuart. Hey, we want to go back a couple of weeks to the Scottish Open. Rob McIntyre took a couple of big swooshes, and we think it was sort of close to where his ball must have been lying. He ended up finding a sprinkler tap with his feet. Question to you, how close are you allowed to have those big swooshes to test the rough when your ball is close?
It can be as close as possible, and I did see that incident you are referring to. The key is he doing things to improve the area of his intended swing? So where he's actually going to strike the ball and where the club's going to go through, is he doing anything to improve that? So if he's just slightly away, even half a step away, which I thought he was, I thought he took a big swing and then he sort of took half a step forward to, you know, prepare to make his stroke, and that's when he's realised he was on the sprinkler or something. Mm. As long as he's not improving that area, he can be as close as he wants, as long as he doesn't move his ball and as long as he doesn't clear that grass out, which then improves his next stroke, which of course is that area of intended swing. So that's fine.
Okay, that makes sense.
And what I saw was fine. Yeah.
So that makes sense to everybody here. Is there an etiquette? Because there are strange etiquettes in golf. I was just saying to Nick before we got you on the line that I would be concerned, because you can't see the ball and no one can see the ball, I would be concerned, and this is just an etiquette thing, that having those practice swings so close where you can't see the ball, that no one knows whether it moves. And to me, a correct etiquette would be to have those big whooshes in the rough to test how the club is going to go through. I'd be doing that a lot further away. So I know he didn't break a rule.
Yeah.
Are there any etiquettes like that in professional golf?
No, but I think that's a fair point you make. If you stood away 2 metres and found an area of grass that was identical to where your ball is and was, you guys know why the player's doing that, right, to test how the club's going to go through the grass. So if you did that 2 metres away, there's zero doubt, zero question on your actions. I think the closer you get, that zero now becomes a 1% doubt, 2%. 10, 20% doubt. If you were right next to the ball, well, all of a sudden you got opinion divided and quite a few people are going, geez, he was really close to that ball, wasn't he?
Yeah.
We don't know if it moved or not. So oh, I thought he was probably, I don't think he would have wanted to have been much closer to the ball, but I think he was fine with what I saw. Again, the key is, did he clear out that grass behind the ball to make that next stroke easier and improve that? If he did, he's got a clear breach. And obviously he was very, very fortunate that he then stood on a sprinkler.
And he did absolutely, in my view anyway, he did absolutely nothing wrong and was entitled to exactly what happened.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Absolutely. I don't think he did anything wrong. As I said, then he stood on the sprinkler. The fact that he didn't know it was there previously because it may have been covered with grass and now he could see it is irrelevant. The fact is it was there. How he found it is really not an issue. And the other key is a lot of things, sorry, one thing that a lot of people don't know is you have no entitlement to be able to actually see your ball. So if it's really in that thick grass, you have no entitlement to be able to see your ball before you make the next stroke. So you can't clear out grass just so you can see it before you hit it. If it's covered in grass, bad luck.
I reckon I might have moved grass so I can see my ball in those situations once in a while.
You got to identify.
And if I may, sorry, if I may just clarify, you are allowed to move the grass in the attempt to search and identify your ball. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
But once it's found, once it's identified, and you go, Jesus, I really can't see it when I actually take my stance. I wouldn't mind just moving some of that grass out of that way. If that improves where you're about to swing, that's going to be a breach. So you're no entitlement to be able to see your ball.
Yep, that, it's funny. What you're talking about there, Stuart, has actually made me think of possibly a really stupid question. So when you're taking a practice swing in thick rough next to the ball and you're basically testing out what the grass is going to do,
why
aren't you allowed to do that in a bunker?
That's a really good question. You're right. You aren't allowed.
I mean, it's the same thing. I'm testing the surface. Yeah,
the principle's the same. I think the only answer I have without knowing the ruling body's intention is the whole idea of a bunker is to challenge you and test your ability to play out of the sand.
Yes.
And we know that the bunker is one of the most restrictive areas on the course. It's not the most. Penalty area is probably the most restrictive, but bunker is pretty restrictive in what you can do. The general area in the grass, you actually got quite a lot you can do. No, it's very interesting. A very interesting question. I might even ask a few people I know about the history of that and the tradition of that. But you're right, you can test the grass. But I should add, if I may add, and a lot of people wouldn't know this, if your ball's in a bunker and you're thinking, oh, how's my club going to go through? How deep is it, etc.? Pace of play permitting, you can walk across into another bunker and take practice swings and hit the sand.
Are you joking?
No, I told you, not many people know this. The reason why you're allowed to do that is because your ball is not in that bunker. Your ball's in bunker A, and you walk over to bunker B, take a few practice swings, take out all the sand, and go, okay, probably bunker A is similar to this.
Well, okay.
A lot of people wouldn't know that. Now, the only issue, of course, would be pace of play. If someone goes, hey, what are you doing over there?
Okay. What happens if you hit the ball into the bunker you've just taken practice swings out of?
Good question.
That's okay.
Really?
Well, yeah, because your ball wasn't in there when you were taking those.
That's right.
Taking those practice swings, yeah.
These days, in a great big bunker, if the rake was way at the other side because someone had left it in the bunker instead of leaving it out, which all rakes should be left out, that's another story. We'll do the rake podcast at some other stage. but when you walk in, you are allowed to rake up your footmarks until you get to the ball these days, where once upon a time that was frowned upon.
Yeah, that's fine. If you are caring for the course, you can rake the bunker, follow your footsteps and the like, but don't do it in front of your ball on your line of play. So if you got, you know, between your ball and the lip of the bunker is about 4 metres and you're playing a, you know, greenside bunker shot, don't be raking up that area where your feet are, right? Yep. That's potentially improving your line of play.
Gotcha.
If the ball, you know, goes out on the green, doesn't quite make it, rolls back in, you've fixed all that up. So anything else, around the bunker, massive bunker, by all means, rake it up and even fix any other mistakes that people haven't raked up as well.
Perfect. I love it. I got one more quick question for you. On Friday, Shane Lowry hooked one left, his second shot on the 11th, and then called provisional ball, hit his provisional on the green, didn't want to find his first ball, but he had to go and play it, correct, because someone had found the ball.
So we know that you...
Bit of conjecture on that one.
Yeah, so you know you cannot, even though he thought you could, you cannot declare a ball lost. There is nothing you can say to make your ball lost. So when you've got a large group of people around that ball and one of them finds that you now have an obligation to go and identify that ball, you can't go, oh, no, I've declared that loss, that's gone. I want to go and play the provisional. The fact that it was found, he had to go over. The easy way not to make a provisional, sorry, make that provisional your ball in play is don't call it a provisional in the first place,
yep,
is one way. Or, of course, go and make a stroke at it nearer the hole than when the original ball is estimated to be. But no, as soon as someone found it, he had to go and identify that ball must.
What, yeah, what about if you're playing in your local Wednesday Stableford comp and the same thing happens?
Yes.
You don't actually have to go and look for the first one, do you? You won't have a crowd following you, so that ball will be lost.
Correct. Yeah, spot on. Yeah, so in fact, if I go really technical, if you don't begin a search for that ball, so you just wander right down the fairway and don't even look at it, that 3 minutes technically hasn't started.
Right.
So if you're down on the green with your provisional and you mark it and lift it and everything else, and now 10 minutes has passed since you hit that ball into the rough on the left, imagine someone finding and going, oh, I think I found Nick's ball.
Yeah.
And you're going, no, that was 10 minutes ago. And they're going to go, well, you know what? That 3 minutes hasn't even started yet because you didn't start the search.
Does that mean if Shane Lowry just went up and hit his putt before the person said, I think I've got your ball, then the provisional would have been in play?
Correct.
Okay.
Spot on. As soon as you make a stroke at the provisional at a spot nearer the hole than where the original's estimated to be, it becomes a ball in play straight away.
Okay, so he just needs to be a faster runner and he would have been right.
Well, he should have got up there a lot quicker, yes.
Yeah, he got asked in the press conference, are you a good front runner? He says, well, I'm not a good runner.
Hey, Stu, thanks so much. We really appreciate it. What's the name of your podcast again?
My pleasure, guys, and thank you very much for both of you for being on our podcast, the Golf Rules Questions podcast.
It is a cracking listen. If you haven't listened to it, absolutely go and subscribe now and download it. It is a ripper.
I thought Nick's episode was probably the best one. It was really good. It was a very good
I enjoyed
episode.
Having both of you on, guys. It was a very good.
See you, Stu.
Thanks, Stu.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks, guys. Pleasure. Bye-bye.